Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. House Ed Committee testimony mostly against Idaho Career Ladder Teacher Pay Program. Moscow City Committee looks at perch alcohol exemption request. Weekend fire at ag facility in Kendrick causes millions of dollars in damage and leaves smoke hanging in the Valley community. And Washington lawmakers back WSU Med School. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. Work. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Joint Finance Appropriations Committee voted today to spend $400,000 this year to kill wolves in Idaho. The governor's Wolf Depredation Control Board spent $140,000 from last year's $400,000 allocation to kill 31 wolves between July and January last year. JFAC committee members noted the cost was about $4,600 per wolf killed. The control board can still use up to $230,000 for wolf killing operations until the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. Idaho Fish and Game also announced yesterday they had used money to kill 19 wolves in the Lolo Zone. Those killings took place last month. Democratic Senator Roy Lacey of Pocatello and Republican Senator Cheryl Nuxall of Cottonwood moved to cut the allocations to the Wolf Depredation Control Board to $270,000 for the next fiscal year because the board wasn't likely to spend all of its allocation this year. That motion failed with only six JFAC members voting in favor. The House Education Committee took testimony all day today on House Bill 222, which would implement a career ladder teacher pay system for Idaho, but the committee postponed voting on the bill. Under the plan, standard pay for teachers would increase from $31,750 a year, where it is now, up to $39,000 by the third year. After 3 years, teachers can earn extra money by going through additional training. Some committee members questioned how the state will know if it is making progress on its goal of attracting and retaining teachers if the pay structure is implemented. Superintendent of Public Instruction Sherry Ibarra said she would also implement a pilot program and advocated giving teachers a 3% across-the-board pay raise this year and wait another year to work out potential problems with the career ladder plan. Ibarra said, "My solution is out there. It's a pilot project. I would just encourage that we give all folks raises just like we do with all state employees and revisit this." Others who testified did not support the plan at all. Here's Adrian Simano.
My name is Adrian Simano. I'm speaking on my own behalf. And I am a part of an integral profession in society, a profession that I love and have a passion for and would choose to do nothing else. I am a teacher. I'm a third grade teacher. This is my 12th year teaching. My family loves to say to people, my mom is a teacher, my sister is a teacher, my aunt is a teacher, my wife, my friend is a teacher, and they are proud of what I do every day. I have the ability to not only teach content, but to inspire perseverance, smiles, and the desire to reach dreams, goals, and aspirations. It's already been stated what the goal of House Bill 222 is intended for, so I'm not going to repeat that. And as much as I love my profession, I am weary. I am tired. I feel like one of those moles in a whack-a-mole machine where we stand up and we fight and we bring things down that have no business being a part of education, and then next thing we know, we're just whacked again. And that's the morale of educators in this state. In my opinion, I believe that the effort and intention of this bill was significant and going to fail, and that's just my personal opinion. This morning, as I listened to the explanation of the bill and the question committee, I began to realize that not only was I confused, but so were some members of the committee on the bill and what it means. The planning and implementation of this proposal is not only confusing, but it's vague, subjective, and a lot of assumptions. If this bill passes, will I leave my profession or Idaho? Absolutely not. I have built a reputation, a life, a family here in this great state. And I would not leave my students. I live in Idaho. I've been inspired to be a teacher since I was a child. My stuffed animals got a great education, even though I did not give them a standardized test because they could not hold a pencil. But I love this profession. If this bill passes, I will not only be disappointed, but saddened by the loss of other equally qualified educators who choose to leave this great state. I am not enticed by money. What I seek is clarity, commitment, respect, and a voice in what I have studied and continue to study to be an excellent educator.
That was Adrienne Simano testifying to the House Education Committee in Boise today. Coeur d'Alene Education Association President Derek Coles said, "The real problem is a shortage of educators willing to work in this state because they don't think they can make it here. They are voting with their feet, and we are seeing it." Coley mentioned that teachers are moving to Spokane to find better wages. The Washington House voted 81-17 yesterday to permit Washington State University to open a medical school on its River Point campus in Spokane. The bill does not provide funding for the school, which will be dealt with separately. The bill repeals a 1917 state law giving the University of Washington in Seattle exclusive permission to operate a medical school in the state. The University of Washington currently operates a medical school which is considered by many as world-class and provides medical education for students from Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. However, Washington State University officials and their backers believe they can help address an ongoing need for more doctors in rural parts of Washington by operating another medical school in the eastern part of the state. WSU has participated in the University of Washington's program called WAMI by jointly operating first-year medical education in Spokane until last year. Democratic Representative Jerry Paulette of Seattle tried to get House members to delay action for a year until the need for physicians is evaluated. Paulette said the new medical school could lead to $40 million per year in allocations from the legislature. Supporters of the bill argued against Paulette's motions. House Higher Education Committee Chair Drew Hansen of Bainbridge Island said, "We already know what the study's going to tell us." The Washington Senate yesterday overwhelmingly passed a bill that would require election officials to attach a statement of program costs to statewide initiatives put before voters if the initiative would cost more than $25 million during a two-year period to implement. The wording would also tell voters if passing the initiative would mean other state spending might need to be reduced in order to implement the proposal. Senate Bill 5715, sponsored by Republican Joe Fain of Auburn, passed by a 41-8 vote and now heads to the House. The Washington House yesterday passed a bill to require suspects being held with suspected mental health complications to be evaluated for admission to a mental health facility within 14 days. The vote was 84-14, and the bill, which has already passed in the Senate, now goes to Governor Jay Inslee for his signature. Under the bill, anyone accused of a crime who did not have a mental health evaluation within 14 days may use that in his or her defense in court. Also, any facility that takes longer than 14 days to complete an evaluation must submit a report to the governor and legislature describing what they are doing to fix the situation. Current state policy recommends a 7-day deadline, but it is not a hard deadline and is repeatedly not met as defendants stay in jails, sometimes for months, waiting for a mental health evaluation. Damage was expected to be at least $3 million in the Friday night fire that burned three buildings at the George F. Brock Processing Plant in Kendrick. Nobody was hurt in the fire, but the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality has issued an air advisory for the Kendrick-Julietta area because of lingering smoke from the fire in the valley. The Lewiston Tribune quoted DEQ smoke coordinator Melissa Ryan saying prescribed burns in Idaho, Washington, and Oregon also contributed to some of the smoke in the valley. The plant processes and packages lentils, peas, garbanzo beans, and rapeseed. Processing plant treasurer Bert Brock told the Daily News the cause of the fire is unknown, and the company will do what it can to keep its 35 employees working. Brock said the company has two processing lines at the site that are unaffected by the fire and another processing line elsewhere in Kendrick. He said, ideally, the company's insurance carrier will come through and they'll be able to rebuild. Brock said not a lot of grain burned in the fire, and most of the grain that did burn was in packages that were ready to ship. The Brock company suffered another fire on July 15, 2006, that destroyed two processing lines and three grain elevators. Although fire officials never officially concluded what caused the 2006 fire, Brock told the paper the family was told it was arson. Lawmakers in the Idaho House are working on separate last-minute transportation funding plans to address the state's $262 million highway maintenance shortfall. Lawmakers also want to make headway on what Idaho Transportation Department Director Brian Ness says is a $281 million shortfall in badly needed road improvements. The sponsors of the House bill, Republican Representatives Jason Monks of Meridian and Greg Cheney of Caldwell, are trying to come up with a funding plan that will get the votes of lawmakers who are skeptical about using general fund money to pay for roads. Their bill would use money from expected tax revenue growth and a temporary 5-cent per gallon fuel tax increase to cut into the transportation deficit. The House Transportation Committee introduced the bill today. Monks told the Associated Press the state revenue projections show a 4% annual increase in the general fund, and the bill would allocate 0.4% of that money for road funding, raising about $12 million per year. House Majority Caucus Chair John Vanderwood of Idaho Falls said he is working on a separate plan that would raise fuel taxes and registration fees to pay for about $100 million per year in road repairs and improvements. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. The Moscow City Council Administrative Committee decided yesterday to give City Attorney Rod Hall time to research whether the city has the power to offer a waiver to a city alcohol zoning regulation to the Perch, which wants to serve alcohol for on-premises consumption. Perch convenience store owner Paramjit Singh is asking the city to approve a waiver of a rule prohibiting the sale of beer and wine for on-site consumption within 300 feet of a school or a place of worship. Singh says the Perch has operated with a restaurant as part of the establishment, but is located within 300 feet of the Latter-day Saints Institute on Deacon Street and therefore needs a permit. Perch building owner Walt Lochteff spoke to the city committee yesterday, as did city attorney Rod Hall.
Well, I was told by the city attorney that we have made a mistake in the past. Now we're correcting it at my expense.
I'm going to speak up
ahead,
because that's not exactly what I said.
I quoted. That's a quote.
That is not a quote from me. Maybe he talked to the prior city attorney. That's not what I said.
I quoted.
Okay,
that's
what you
said. Let's not argue. Let's let Rod speak.
I would like to see that.
You would like to see that.
Well, you said you have a quote from me.
You and I were speaking together in your office.
That's called hearsay.
Well, you're an attorney, so that's what you guys do.
Go ahead, Rod. Okay.
What I tried to explain to him is just because something was happened in the past, that something was omitted and something was being carried on unlawfully, does not mean that they get some kind of right that the law gets to be waived. Just because somebody was acting unlawfully in the past is not an excuse to continue operating unlawfully in the future.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Walt, how's this apartment come into play? I don't quite understand how that falls in line here.
When I purchased it from Madge Brown, she had an apartment adjacent to the little store. I ran the store for 7 years. And when Mr. Ball came into play, he said, why don't we expand it? We can do this, we can do that. He had a license at the time. And so I said, okay, fine. Let's tear down the wall and restore it to its natural.
The apartment's no longer an apartment. It's part of the
Part of the facilities, correct. We had to shore up the flooring, all kinds of steel beams. I mean, it's architecturally what the department wanted.
That was Perch building owner Walt Lochteff. And you also heard from Moscow City Attorney Rod Hall and Moscow City Council member Wayne Krause. In the past, under a different owner, the Perch had sold alcohol by the drink, but the permit to do so was found to be issued in error, and that was revoked. At yesterday's meeting, LDS Institute Director Kip Jenkins asked the committee to not approve any more alcohol for the Perch.
We have not had the police department come ever and put down any noisy LDS party. We have had no student of ours that has broken anything or defaced any property of any of our neighbors, ever, in the nearly 100 years we've been an institute since 1926. I went through the history today, and over $8,000 of property damage has come because of direct liquor or under the influence of alcohol. We've had 4 signs stolen. 3 have been from the fraternity that operates right next door to the Perch. We've had 18 windows broken. We had one that we reported to the Moscow City Police Department where a beer bottle was thrown through our library window, almost hit a girl as she was studying. We're tired. We're tired of the alcohol-induced activities that bring property damage and difficulty for our students. He talks about $80,000 that he's put in. We put in $185,000 for a parking lot. We put in $800,000 to remodel that building. We will put in another $6,000 to remodel all of the doors. 18 windows. 18 windows in my 25 years. Gentlemen, I'm tired of not being protected by an ordinance that intends to protect me from property damage and other difficulties that come because of alcohol. If they're selling $4,000 in food, they can use another $1,000 that they can sell a soda pop. But no more liquor, please. I'm asking that ordinance be administered and adhered to. I also talked with church authorities, and we're ready to litigate if we have to.
That was LDS Institute Director Kip Jenkins, who runs the Institute on Deacon Street, slightly less than 300 feet from the Perch. He was speaking to the Moscow City Council Administrative Committee yesterday. The U.S. Natural Resources Conservation Services says snowpack is at record lows at 32 sites in Oregon that have been recording snowpack for at least 25 years. Snowpack measurements ranged from 10% of average near Mount Bachelor to more than 50% of normal at sites in the northeastern part of the state and in Harney County. Officials say reservoirs will likely be full around the state for a time because precipitation has been close to normal in the state. However, much of that precipitation fell as rain rather than snow, making it likely reservoirs that depend on snowmelt will be low later in the summer. In western Montana, snowpacks are also below normal for this time of year, but the situation is not as extreme as in Oregon. The Kootenai River Basin is at 60% normal, and the Clark Fork Basin is at 64% of normal. The highest percentage is in the greater Gallatin River Basin, where snowpack levels are 90% of the 30-year average. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, increasing clouds tonight, low 45. 60% chance of rain tomorrow, mainly afternoon, cloudy with a high of 56. 60% chance of showers tomorrow night, cloudy with a low of 42, and a 20% chance of showers before noon on Thursday, mostly cloudy, high 59. Mostly clear Thursday night and Friday, low 38, high 65, and rain possibly coming back over the weekend. Currently, fair skies, 64 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, our weekly documentary from Making Contact. And then we'll have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Music begins around 7:30 with, Kentaro's in subbing tonight. And stay tuned for more. I'm Lee Robartis. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial.